Presence is in this place. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you join me for our invocation? God of new beginnings, God of refreshing rains that replenish our spiritual parched souls, God of new breezes that blow and sometimes disturb and unsettle us, but which also refresh and renew us, we come to give you thanks and to invoke your presence. Remind us, O Lord, that as you were present with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, as you walk through barriers and appeared in closed rooms, you do appear to us, even in the times we feel farthest from you and in the times we feel closest to you. And so on this special day, this historic day for this church, this celebrative day for families, we come to say thank you, to ask your presence with us, among us, and we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray together the prayer he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome you to this special day and for this time of worship, and we especially welcome those who are visiting with us for the first time or those who are new in our community who have never been here before. And we remind you that there are those little visitor cards in your pew pockets, and if you would register your presence with us, drop those into an offering plate or hand them to an usher, we would be glad to let you know more about our mission and ministry. And at the conclusion of this and all of our services is a hymn of response. We receive those who would come to unite with our church upon the transfer of your membership, or those who would come to profess your faith and unite with our church or to be baptized. As God leads you, we pray that you would respond. Now, I said welcome to all of you who are guests, and I met a few coming in that I was certain were guests, and I'm sorry I can't mention all of the names, but I met Drag and Carolyn Kimry, whom I had met decades ago, or at least a decade ago. But Drag was pastor, interim pastor, at a church called Emmanuel Baptist Church in Wiesbaden, Germany, and he is here. Raise your hand. Where are Drag and Carolyn? And they're now living in Laurenburg, and we'll be going back as interim minister at a future date there this summer. Kristen Eiler's folks are here. We welcome you. Where are Kristen's folks? Will and mom and sister? Okay, we're glad you're here with us. God bless you. Glad to meet you. And Bill and Earlene, where are your family? Bill and Earlene, raise your hands. Oh, you're over there in the peanut gallery. Yes. I hear you have a graduate. Who is that graduate with you? Congratulations. And we're glad that things went well for you. And we congratulate you and congratulate your grandparents for having grandkids with them on this special day. I think your granddaughter's here too as well. We welcome you. Others, and I'm sorry I can't call your names, but we want to get to know you. Now let me make this special note. At the conclusion of our service, we will have an important business meeting of the church. If you are a guest with us and you don't want to stay for a Baptist business meeting, you may leave if you wish. If you'd like to stay, even though you are not allowed to vote on our pastoral candidate nominee for today, you are welcome to stay as well. And at the same time, I will remind you of that at the conclusion. And I've already alluded to something that's very important. And Dr. Janie Brown, the chair of our search team, if you would come, Janie, and introduce our guest preacher for today.
We want to be very happy today to welcome Dr. Mason Fuller Smith to bring our sermon. Many of you had the opportunity to meet him yesterday, and also to meet his wife and two children and the dog by Skype. His wife is Kimberly, and his children are Wilson and Wesley, and I understand the small dachshund whom we saw is Merry as in Merry Christmas. I hope you will take the opportunity, if you haven't already, to read the biographical material that's printed in your bulletin. It's very well done, and it's the very same things that I would have said to you had it not been there this morning. Having received the call to the ministry at age 15, That call to the ministry has determined many, many of his decisions since that time. And one of those decisions was to come and preach to us this morning. So we welcome him, and we ask that he preach the sermon this morning as the Spirit leads him. And we shall listen.
Good morning. Please stand for our song of praise. The words will be on the screen. Let's praise the Lord as we sing 10,000 Reasons, Bless My Soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name.
Sing with us, please.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul,
I worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger.
Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons.
okay? Think about it. Think about it. Say it out loud, okay, so everybody can hear. All right, on three. One, two, three. Keep going, keep going. That's not all. What else? What else? Feed us. Take us to school. What? I'm sorry, Larry. Buy you stuff. Of course, I forgot to come in somewhere. Take you shopping. Laundry. Watch you while your dad's out of town. Our mother's been lots of things. We could probably sit up here the entire time. Sorry, Mason, you probably get to preach this morning. They can't come. Mothers get to do so many things for us, and we are so blessed to have our mothers. And you know what is at the heart of a mom? You know? See, that's the key. A lot of times it's hard to recognize what is that very essence, the soul of a mother. I'm going to share a handle with you this morning to kind of show you the example. Okay. How many ways are there to light this candle? A lot, but it essentially comes down to one thing, right? What needs to be there to light that candle?
Fire,
I know. All right, okay. Side note, don't play with candles unless your mom and dad are around. Got it? Got it. All right. So we've got a candle here this morning. And the only thing that can light that with it is the fire, right? Okay, now, we said there's only one way to light a candle, and that's the fire. However, how many different ways are there to put out that candle?
Water.
Wind, blowing, suffocate it, throw it rocks at it.
That's the boy.
There's lots of different ways to put out the candle, right? Right. All right, why don't you help us, okay? Because we're going to blow this candle out on three, okay? So everybody stand up. Everybody stand up, all right? Kind of circle around here. Stay back a little bit. Don't get your hair dry. All right. All right, well, three. You ready, Mason? You got it. There's a lot of hot air up here now. All right, on three, everybody look. Look slide over. We got it. Slide that way. All right, on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Yeah.
celebrate our mom this day because we have been blessed by our mother. Something I'm going to give you this morning that I want to help you remind of this homework assignment is we're going to give a candle to each of the mothers in the sanctuary today. Okay? And on the candle it reads, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ." That comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. The mothers in our lives are the aroma of Christ that we smell. And hopefully this candle will be the light of the home and enjoy some peaceful, relaxing time celebrating the mother's honor. Okay? So we'll do that. All right, so we have adopted. First off, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up real quick. I want everyone to grab a candle. Grab one candle. Be very careful with it. Drink my blood. Have it from the body. All right, now, just get one. Just get one to start. Mark it in. Y'all just need to get one because you've got one mom. Okay, all right. Y'all guys, all right, one, grab one. All right, just wait one. All right, now, first thing, first assignment is this. Go take this candle, Daniel and Mark. Go take this candle to your mom, say thank you, give them a great big hug and a great big kiss, okay? And then come back. You're not done, okay? Ready? Go. Thank you. have been surrounded by a mother figure in our lives. And I think it's important to recognize that fact that we've all been touched. So if you are an individual that has been touched by a mother figure in your life, I'm going to ask you to please sing. That's how much mothers mean to us. So as we sing our offertory hymn, Mom, we again say thank you for making it.
Let's sing our offertory hymn. The first and second verses of My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for another glorious day that you have given us. We want to thank you for the mothers that you have given us to nurture and cherish. We want to ask you to give us your many blessings as we repay you a small gift of ours so we may continue your work. Bless us and bless the many gifts that you've given us over the years. Enrich our service today, Lord. Give us your guidance, and we may do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. This morning, our prayer revolution focus, and for this week, is the Women's Resource Center of Alamance County. The vision for the Women's Resource Center began in 1989, and the ministry started in 1991 with a goal and mission dedicated to helping women and their families improve and enrich their lives through education, support ministries, networking, and community resources. 375 members strong with numerous volunteers, the Women's Resource Center in Alamance County seeks to improve the lives of women and their families in our county. What a special blessing they have the opportunity on a daily basis to reach out to women in Burlington, Elon, Graham, and the entire county. Some of the ministries included that the Women's Resource Center include, they provide transition ministry for women who are moving out from one home to a second home, or they also provide transition ministry from one workplace to another workplace. They provide monthly luncheons and book discussions where it speaks to educate women on opportunities that exist in our county and in our state. They provide opportunities where mothers and children can gather and connect on an intimate basis where they can grow stronger together in their family. They provide opportunities for applications and resume education so women can improve their opportunities to work in our community. They also provide referral services for many numerous jobs. The Women's Resource Center on Alamance County, I think, is appropriate for this day and this week because we just saw how much impact women, especially mothers, have in our lives. And the Women's Resource Center of Alamance County provides that opportunity. I encourage you to visit them. I encourage you to check them out on the website and see of ways that you can interact or provide opportunities to assist there in their ministry, because they work hand in hand and side by side with churches like ours to improve the family life in Alamance County. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, lifting up the Women's Resource Center. Let us pray. Father God, I am thankful for a ministry in Alamance County, in the Women's Resource Center, that seeks to educate, improve the lives of women and their families. What more important message can a church proclaim than to enrich the lives of the families which participate? And that's what the Women's Resource Center does. I'm thankful for all the numerous members, the volunteers that help continue the ministry through days and weeks and months of the calendar year, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to lift them up in prayer this day and this entire week. I just ask that as a congregation, we can support them in their ministry, not just through prayer, but through visits, through volunteering, whatever it might be, an opportunity to improve the lives of families in Alamance County. Father God, I lift this ministry up to you today. We place it in your hands, and we are thankful and grateful for the work that they do. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Guten Morgen, liebe Brüderen und liebe Schwestern. Grüß Gott, Gott ist gut. I think some of you thought that maybe me coming from Germany, that would be what it would be like this morning. But as we would say here in North Carolina, hey y'all. It is so good to finally see faces and to finally be here in Elon. And I've come here to preach, but I have to say a few words of gratitude first. I want to thank all of you that I've met over the past 2 weekends and how gracious you've been, how kind you've been to me, how encouraging you have been about this possibility for a future in ministry here at First Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the staff and their words of wisdom and insight, and Dennis especially has been gracious. I have come to realize just how much you love him, and he certainly loves you as well. Your search committee has represented this church so well. You should be proud of them, and I'm especially thankful for Janie and the outstanding leadership that she's provided. And I'm thankful for my wife and my children who could not be here, that they were willing to let me free and come and visit with you. I told the group yesterday that I was listening to a bluegrass song on the way here on Friday that said, "Do not marry a drunkard, do not marry a gambler, but a preacher is the worst of the three." For God is always calling him to a foreign land, and here I am. So thank you to them. That's enough patting people on the back. I come to you to share a word that God has laid on my heart. I come not as anyone above you or beyond you, but as one from the pew, a fellow journeyman, a fellow seeker, a disciple of Christ. So let us turn to Christ together in prayer. Oh God, whatever it is that you would have each of us to hear, we pray that we would not miss it. In Christ your Son's name we pray. Amen. I spent much of my childhood, as many of you know, growing up on a little dirt farm in between Whiteville and Bladenboro, North Carolina, a place often referred to as Hogwaller. For some, that's a put-down. It's sort of a badge of pride for me. And we didn't grow dirt. It's not that kind of a dirt farm. It's a farm where we grew things in the dirt. And we worked hard, and we had good times when we were allowed to have good times. And my brothers and I were your typical rambunctious and rowdy farm boys. We used to do farm boy games like ride the hog, or chase the chicken, or climb the tree. But there was this one animal on our family farm that would have nothing to do with us. It was not even our animal. It was just this mangy old cat that showed up in the barn one day. This cat was more wild or feral than anything else, and it always kept its distance. And no matter how much we called kitty, kitty, kitty never came. It would always stay just a few steps away in the shadows. I think in many ways I kind of hated that cat for that. But deep down, I just wanted to be friends. And so the cat's wildness and its manginess and its distance always drove me crazy. One day, my brother Todd and I, he's the brother closest in age to me, we were doing what farm boys do on a Saturday afternoon. We were wandering through the wide woods, barefoot. It was a muggy North Carolina day. And I saw in the corner of my eye this pile of fur and blood in the leaves. We walked over to it, and I pulled out the official investigative tool of all farm boys. It's a stick, that's right. And a poke and a turn revealed, lo and behold, there was that mangy old cat that we had come to call Wild. It was half dead. It had been in a fight, maybe with a raccoon or who knows what. Elon students, it looked like some of you the day after exams, no doubt. Torn to pieces, near death. And my first instinct was, put it out of its misery. But my brother, he shocked me. He said something I'll never forget. He pointed his finger, and he was bigger than me, so I listened. He pointed his finger at me and said, "Don't you touch him, that's my cat." Todd, I said, that's not your cat. That cat doesn't even like you. That's that mangy old thing. That's not yours. He said, don't touch it. That's my cat. And Todd, seeing this thing in the leaves, he walked over to it. He knelt down. He took his shirt off of his own back. He wrapped that cat up in it and held it like a mother holds her baby. And he carried the cat through the woods. At the edge of the woods where the briars and the brambles were, his back was torn by the thorns, but he made it all the way home with this mangy thing. He went inside the house and got a box and what he believed to be some old blankets. We found out later that's not the case. And he made a bed for this cat. When Mama came home, she was gracious. She was always so patient with us and kind and loving. And she saw the look in my brother's eyes and she knew he had to help this cat. She agreed and took the cat to the vet. And the vet did his work and gave it some shots and some salve, some healing ointment for the wounds. And Todd began to nurse this mangy old cat back to life. It grew stronger. And I think Todd's love for it grew deeper, and he would hold it all day long until Mama would say, all right, put it down, it's time to go to bed. But even then, he would sneak out and get that cat, and it would sleep right there all night. As the cat grew stronger, he began to put his hand under it and help it walk, and it grew even stronger. And then finally that dreaded day came for my brother when Mama said, all right, the cat is healthy. The cat is fine. It's time to let that mangy old cat go. So with tears in his eyes, my brother took the cat outside, set it down on the ground, and let it go. But if you know anything about cats, you know it didn't go. It stayed. The cat stayed right there with him no matter where he went or what he was doing, in the field, in the barn, up or down. That mangy old cat was with him. One day it happened. We came home from school, and there was that mangy old cat sitting on the front porch, and beside him, you guess it, another mangy old cat. A black cat with white socks. And they were just standing there together as if to say, yes, this is my friend Leroy. He'll be staying with us for a while. Sometime after that, two more cats and more came. And cats were born into the world. And new cats arrived. And you would not believe it, but it's the truth. By the time it was all over, 21 cats. Running around that farm, not a mouse in sight. It was as if that cat, that mangy thing, had gone out all over the highways and byways and the bushes and brambles of Hogwaller to the ends of the earth, as far as he knew, and rounded up all of his mangy old cat buddies and said, y'all come with me to my master's house. He's been good to me. I know he'll be good to you too. There's something about that experience in my life, I think, that has taught me more than anything else about grace. There's something about that story that preaches. Something about it that sounds to me as gospel. I want to ask you to keep that story in your mind. Let it sort of marinate in your brain. Let it stay there at the front of your thoughts as we turn to the actual gospel as Paul proclaims it in 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul is writing to a whole church full of mangy old cats. He says this in verse 14, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Since God is making his appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we would say in Columbus County, woo-wee, that's the gospel. The good news of Christ. That is the power of the gospel, that from the very moment we first encountered Christ, something so fundamental to who we are has been so radically altered that we are no more, we are new. A new thing. That there in the muck and the mire of our sin, Christ reaches out to us, lifts us up onto a dry place, brings life where there was death, light where there was darkness. We are new creation hope in Christ. And at the risk of sounding just a wee bit Pentecostal, I would say hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But wait. Before you sign any contract, you should always read the fine print there at the bottom. And as we read the fine print of the gospel, there is a revelation there for us that we are new creations, but not for ourselves alone. There's more. There's more to the gospel than just us. And when we read the fine print, we find that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ and that we are entrusted with this new creation hope. And if that is so, shouldn't the world look different than it does today? I'll tell you nothing new. It's something that preachers and prophets have been saying for thousands of years. They've been saying that there is something wrong with the world, isn't there? We know it. We sense it. We see it every day when we turn on the bad news, when we walk through our neighborhoods. We know that the world is not right, that there is something wrong with it. And we should ask ourselves, where is the new creation hope? Where is the hope of the gospel? When we see that everywhere there are wars and rumors of wars, and we cry out, peace in the Middle East, but there is no peace. And even now we hear drums beating, beating, beating. Where is the new creation hope in that? Even today, there are people who are stricken with poverty to the point where they are hungry and there is no food. They are starving. And yes, starving even unto death. And we speak not just of some distant third world country, but even here in North Carolina. Oh, where is the hope in that? Families fall apart. Churches splinter and split. People's lives are broken. Alcoholism, drug addiction, prostitution, and on and on and on. Where is the new creation? I'm thinking this morning of a little boy I knew while I was a missionary in Charleston, South Carolina. I lived and ministered in a government housing program called the Projects, or the PJs, by the locals. And I'm thinking of this little boy that I knew so well. I can see him now, his little white shirt, filthy. An ironic hole in the shirt just above his heart. A key on a string around his neck. He's what they call a latchkey child, on his own to fend for himself, just one step away from a street child. I can see him sitting there with a prostitute for a mother and no father that he knows of, haunted by day with the presence of gangs and at night by sirens and gunshots. I can see him there on the stoop of his apartment with his little head in his little hands and a little tear running down his little face. And I beat my chest and ask, oh God, where is the hope for him? What hope does he have? He has you and me. For the great aha of the gospel is that we are the hope of the gospel. That we are Christ's ambassadors. That means we speak for and act for the King. We do all that he says for us to do, and we say all he tells us to say. And as Christ's ambassadors, the very hope of reconciliation is entrusted in us. We are given this ministry of reconciliation. And what is reconciliation, if not simply this? To make right what is wrong, wherever and whenever we see it. If we see hunger, we bring food. If we see nakedness, we bring clothes. If we see war, peace. If we see despair, hope. If we see sickness, we bring health. If we see hate, we bring love. Do you remember that mangy old cat? I hope the cat is still preaching in your life and in your mind even now. That mangy old cat that we said went out into the highways, the byways, the bushes, the brambles, and rounded up all the mangy old cat friends and said, come with me to my master's house. He's been good to me, and I know he'll be good to you, that cat. To me, that cat is the embodiment of the ministry of reconciliation. That's what the reconciliation is. Just one mangy old cat showing another mangy old cat the way to the master's house. And if a mangy old cat can do that, certainly we can as well. Amen.
We are inviting you to stand for, as you are able, for our closing hymn. And on behalf of the church, I will stand in front to receive any who would come to profess your faith or to unite with our church upon transfer of membership. As God leads you, would you respond?
Singing you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give.
God bless you. We want to remind you before you leave of two things. One, a ministry reminder, the Elon ministry that we have, the reading day on Wednesday. We still need fruits and veggies, good food, so bring those. That's all afternoon and all evening and all night. Do we need any more people, David? Do we have enough people here?
We can always use more.
More people can be used, and this building can be full of students studying. It's a wonderful ministry, a quiet time for them, and a time of nurture and nourishment. Secondly, the called business session will follow after a brief interlude. I'll have the benediction. Mason and I and David will step out. We'll have a musical interlude, and you can kind of reposition yourself and stretch. Those who are guests, you're free to leave or you're free to stay. Members only will be recognized as voting members, but it is an open meeting. We're glad that you are here. Now bow and prepare, if you will, to receive the benediction.
We all have been redeemed, reconciled, claimed.